Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. From the heart of the Missouri Ozarks, it's the Gilbert House Fellowship. It's our Old Testament study for Sunday, September 25th, 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we're so glad. I'll take that napkin. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
So glad you've chosen to join us. We're just finishing our... I always want to hold your hand. Well, I don't know that they want to hear that.
Probably not.
No, probably not. Well, welcome. You know, we're so glad that you guys have chosen to join us via the archives. And if you're listening today and you just recently started listening to the Gilbert House Fellowship, we encourage you to go to gilberthouse.org, O-R-G, and check out the many episodes that we've done in the past. We've done over 100 of these, Old Testament and New Testament. Mm-hmm. We started the New Testament studies, what, 6 months ago or so?
About that. This is study number 116.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Goes back to 2014, actually. I thought we were started early last year, but actually we go back to 2014.
Yeah. It's been a while. Been a while we've been at this. And if the Lord tarries and we're still around and we finish all of the Old and New Testament, we'll start it all again. Mm-hmm. But if you want to, you can go all the way back. Start it with Genesis 1:1. We're doing this in chronological order. So it's a different reading plan than you may be used to, but it's allowing us to really get a better handle, at least me, a better handle on the history. You know, things in context.
Yeah. As we saw with the life of David, we skipped back and forth between Samuel and Chronicles and Kings, but also then into the Psalms to get a sense of what was in David's mind and heart at the time that he was writing those Psalms.
It made those Psalms come to life for me.
But in the New Testament, now we're finding the same thing with Paul and his missionary journeys juxtaposed with the letters that he wrote to the various churches that he planted. So we see what happened at Corinth, where he started a church, was there 18 months, left, caused a riot in Ephesus, and then got a report that the church in Corinth was starting to fight with one another. I follow Paul. I follow Peter. I follow Apollos. And Paul was mortified. You could just see it in the letter as you read the words.
Yeah.
So really remarkable.
And today we're going to get some more stuff from Solomon. Last week we read the Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, and it was beautifully written. And now we get the Proverbs.
Yes.
Which, so, you know, many people memorize one or two of these, but a lot of people don't read them all in context. And so I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, we'll probably run across a number of things that are sayings that we've heard in life, but not knowing that they came from Scripture. That often happens when we start digging into the books of wisdom. So today we'll do the first six chapters of Proverbs, and we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for drawing us together over your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we read, you'll open our minds and our hearts to absorb the wisdom that has been preserved for us over the centuries. We know that these were written under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, preserved and included in the canon of Holy Scripture, according to the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that as we read, you'll grant us wisdom to understand. And then, Father, as we go forward from here, you'll grant us the strength to live according to your will, your word, and your wisdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Proverbs 1, beginning at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles.
So that's the purpose of this book.
Exactly. I like that too, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Of course, when I was young, I figured I didn't need any of these. Old people don't know what life is about these days, blah, blah, blah. If I could see myself from 30 years ago, I would smack me so hard.
But, smack yourself in the next year.
That's right. Verse 7, the fear, and this one is one we should all remember.
And this is it. He said, this is why I'm writing this, and the very first thing you need to learn.
Right. Is Proverbs 1, 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
You know, and this is the thing, once again, the Old Testament study dovetails with the New Testament study that we did earlier. The New Testament study, Paul talks about the preaching to people who are not willing to receive it,
right,
to the pagans, to the unsaved, who simply see us as fools.
Right. Yeah, you're right. God chooses to use the wisdom of the world as folly.
Mm-hmm.
And what the world perceives as folly and foolishness
is actually
his wisdom.
Yes.
Yeah. He said the Jews are seeking signs, the Greeks seek wisdom, and neither group, for the most part, will understand what God is talking about.
Only the Holy Spirit leads you to that.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I'll repeat it because this is an important one. The fear of the Lord. And again, when we read in our English translations the word Lord in all caps, that's just a substitute for Yahweh, Yad-Heh Vav-Heh, the Tetragrammaton. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive, and whole, like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods, we shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us, we will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood.
Boy, you see a lot of that today.
Mm-hmm.
Young kids that are just, they're doing the most, you look at it and you just think, why did you ever think this was a good idea?
Yeah.
An example that seems innocuous probably to young people is the idea that we're all going to get together for these, you know, sort of flash mob event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll all show up at somebody's house. You know, they're having a birthday party.
Right.
And thousands of us will go. Or we're all going to show up in the middle of the street and tear up traffic.
Or a mall or something.
Yeah.
And it'll be great.
No,
and then,
it's not.
Yeah. Something happens and somebody gets hurt. And
even if no one got hurt, it's still stupid.
Well, it is stupid. And it's, if there's anything to it, and I know my parents often said to me something that is very similar to this. If anyone asks you to do something that you feel you have to lie to your parents to hide, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when you're 14, 15, you hear that, I'm like, yeah, that's just because you're old. But there's wisdom to that.
Yeah, there is.
If it's something that you can't share with your parents, then, mm-hmm. yeah. And that's essentially what this is saying here. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. And, of course, when mom and dad are saying things like this, they're saying, because you'll get in trouble, and you might get grounded or a spanking or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're hearing this from the Lord, wisdom from God himself, we're talking eternal consequences here.
Exactly.
And that's the key difference. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. A net spread in the sight of any bird. Yeah, they're watching. We can see you
mm-hmm.
putting out the trap. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives.
Exactly.
Because they will be the ones who go down to Sheol. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. This is interesting because beginning at verse 20 here, Solomon in this proverb personifies wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some who will say, see, this is the goddess Sophia.
No,
it is not. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called you and you refuse to listen, because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way. They shall have their fill of their own devices. They've made their bed, they'll have to lie
mm-hmm.
in it. Yeah. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster.
That is a beautiful chapter.
Yeah. And it continues. Chapter 2 continues with the personification of wisdom.
My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden women. Let's see, forbidden. What is that alternate translation?
Strange.
Like? Yeah. From the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed.
Ah, that word translated departed is Rephaim.
Yeah. So this is a dangerous road. Don't listen to this woman who's enticing you. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. I would say that this is speaking of pagan religion.
It could, because
which
yes,
is often personified as a woman,
right? As for the adulteress with her smooth words, the adulteress is a foreign woman, forbidden woman is strange. So yeah, you're right. And by the way, this chapter, I said that this continues with the personification of wisdom speaking. This is more of a paternal proverb, but we will see again in Proverbs 8 the personification of wisdom again.
And, which will be next Sunday, because we're only going through 6 this
through
morning.
6, that's correct, right. But there are cults that have taken this personification of wisdom thing and run with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, you and I have talked about that a little bit on Sci Friday, and we hope to eventually get into it a little bit more, the fact that paganism is on the rise. And
Return of the old gods.
The old gods are coming back. Verse 20. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. That's a big deal, inhabiting the land back then, because someone's always coming up to, you know, roust you out of it.
Right, yeah.
But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it.
The thing about departing, or about
going down to the Rephaim?
Going down to the Rephaim is really interesting. I've been doing a lot of reading about the Rephaim of late, and the links to the Canaanite religion.
You're writing a book about it, so you spend almost all your extra time, which isn't much.
I've been soaking in it, but it is intriguing that there are some really intriguing links between the Rephaim and other ancient mythological traditions. So I'll leave it at that.
Book's coming out next year?
Yeah, early next year. I need to stop reading and actually start writing, I think.
But I've seen you. I know I've seen you. You're actually taking notes, and that's where you start as a writer. You have to do a lot of reading and sort of writing in your head, and then you actually sit down and start putting words on the screen.
Yeah. I actually wrote about 800 words last night. Then I posted it to my blog because it was a blog.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was interesting because it was about the Amorites, and I'm still digging into this whole thing about the iniquity of the Amorites that God talked with Abraham about. So anyway, Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man.
You have to ask yourself, how do you write this on the tablet of your heart? It's honestly, it cannot be done unless your heart is born anew.
Mm-hmm.
This is a salvation message, whether Solomon knew it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a good teaching, I think, in our world, for our day especially, because we are convinced through the subtle messaging of the culture, advertisements, movies, other entertainments, that we are all entitled to be completely happy all of the time. And if we're not, then there's something wrong, and we're entitled to go search it out and seek it and get it for ourselves. Which means, as a parent sometimes, you know, that is contrary to what it means to be a parent sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Being steadfast in your love and faithful sometimes means doing things you might not rather be doing at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather be bowling or playing softball or something, but
mm-hmm.
I'm here at my kid's recital.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you're talking about in a marital relationship,
mm-hmm.
sacrificing for yourself for the happiness of your partner.
That's true. But sometimes sacrificing, going to work every day to a place you don't really love working.
In order to provide for your family.
Exactly.
Yeah. There are a lot of aspects to steadfast love and faithfulness that, and we don't see that lifted up and honored in our culture anymore.
No, but there was the day when it was.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Father knows best. That was probably the end of that era.
Yeah.
Was the 1950s.
The end of that message.
The end of that message. Yeah.
And it became father's an idiot.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good luck finding father.
Yeah.
Father's down on the corner, at the bar.
Yeah. And he's hustling and looking for a young honey, and he's got his little blue pills to, anyway, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding.
Well, how many of us do that today? Most of us. We try to figure out the world on our own without God, and trust me, it will make no sense.
Right.
In fact, you can be a believer and know your Bible, but if you don't understand that this is all about a spiritual war that goes way back to the garden or before, then you won't understand it either.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast, Canary Cry Radio, mm-hmm. with Basil and Gons.
Oh, yeah, CCR.
Love those guys. They had a professor from the University of California system, Daryl Hamamoto, who Asian studies, but he's very into the culture and the messages that we're getting from video games and movies and things like that. But he had originally thought that he wanted to be a priest, and he actually went, even though he's of Japanese descent, he was sent to a Catholic school, and he said, "Oh, I did great in all the catechism classes and stuff. Didn't really believe most of it, but the nuns loved me." He said, "I'd have been a great Jesuit," which I thought was really interesting. Anyway, but that's a good point.
Uh-huh.
It's one thing to know it in our heads. It's another to understand that this spiritual battle is real. Some people see it a lot more frequently and a lot more personally than I do. But I've met too many of them who are really rational, productive people to dismiss the invisible war out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It's that message again. Fear the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, this isn't a promise of material wealth if you give to the Lord. Essentially, it's if you've got the right priority in giving to the Lord, then you'll be satisfied with what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
If you're grasping for more, you can never, and you'll never have enough.
That's true. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves. I've heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it's from. Proverbs 3, verse 12. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her, personifying wisdom mm-hmm. again, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways, interesting. Reference to the left-hand path being the path of the occult, the path of wickedness.
Possibly.
Yeah, but long life, well, interesting.
But honor wouldn't be in there if it were a wicked
path. That's true,
path.
That's true. I just wondered about the riches included there, but...
think it's just talking about, the type of riches that storing up riches
treasures.
Where it belongs.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it. So again, long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Yes, your analysis is better than mine there. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck.
Of course, this comes from a man who, through his wives, his many wives, followed some paths that really weren't all that straight.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he lost his way toward the end.
He did. Yeah. I'd like to think he's still with the Lord because his heart, ultimately was right, but he listened to his wives too much.
Mm-hmm. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come again tomorrow, I will give it," when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace.
Chapter 4. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, wisdom, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight." Interesting. The beginning of wisdom, of course, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom,
right.
Is this: get wisdom. Of course, how do you get wisdom? Fear the Lord. That's the beginning. And whatever you get insight. So maybe there's something beyond wisdom. You have to get insight into the things that you're learning. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. This is imagery that we see again. Paul talks about it a number of times, but also in the book of Revelation, we see those who are standing before the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, who are receiving their crowns. And of course, we all lay them at the feet of Jesus.
Right.
Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of righteousness, of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. And a lot of times when it says the evil, it actually means the evil one.
Yeah.
The one is understood. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. This is a really interesting verse because this is something you see now a lot. It's like there's a spirit within some people that drives them toward evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we've known some people like that.
For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. They can't see it. Even when they trip over it, they somehow don't even know it's there. Mm-hmm. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. How many young people today, I really don't understand, It's not just young people. It's mm-hmm. many people in this world that somehow they think of words as just, it's just nothing. I can say whatever I want to. I can say it to you if I choose. But on Facebook, on comments, on blogs, you know, somehow it's like it's not real.
Yeah.
But the fact is we read the tongue is responsible for a lot of damage in this world. Mm-hmm. Words matter.
Yeah. It is strange. We saw that with our daughter and her friends in school who would joke with one another in mm-hmm. ways that we considered.
And it was cool to them.
Yeah.
It was just cool speech that they somehow, and it has nothing to do with individually with them. I think many of us for generations have been that way. Mm-hmm. Something we would say in jest, if it hurts the other person, then that word is hurtful. You may have thought you were joking. You may have thought that comment that you made online, you know, okay, well, you know, this is all sarcasm. You may have really injured somebody on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these words matter. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And of course, if you're walking in darkness, you don't know it's there.
Right. And going back to verse 19, I made what sounded in my own ears to be like an offhanded remark. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. But that really is the nature of the culture in which we live, because there are people and they are the guardians of the media who look at people like us who believe that the Bible is actually the Word of God and that its precepts and teachings are true and to be respected and honored because they come directly from God as the evil ones. Mm-hmm. You know, they use the word fundamentalist as a pejorative.
Mm-hmm.
People who are, you know, turning off their brains and just blindly following a set of rules created by a shepherd in the desert, 1500 BC, a cult leader named Moses. But that is the example of the type of person I was referring to there. They are so blind that they don't even know that what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
They will persecute. And as we get deeper into the end times, they will persecute those who follow the Bible
mm-hmm.
and believe that they are doing the work. And some of them are already in the church. You know, people who believe that the Bible is outmoded and we need to adapt the teachings of Christianity to match the spirit of the age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the goddess that they're following is Ishtar. It's not, they're not following Yahweh. They're following a completely different set of gods. And they think they'll be doing holy work when they start driving us out of the culture first and then into incarceration next.
Yes, because, and then start lopping off our heads.
Right, yeah. Because it'll be for the children, because we're really abusing our children by teaching us these teaching them these things that we're discussing.
You know, it doesn't take much. It's tiny steps that will take you off that narrow path, and the next thing you know, the path is no longer discernible. Mm-hmm. You are standing in the middle of a deep, dark Mirkwood forest, and you can't see where the path is anymore.
Right. Here's an example. We saw this story, this headline this past week. We didn't bring it up on Sci Friday, but we could very well have, and related it to this spirit of the age. The belief that to stop global warming, there are some climate change alarmists out there who are seriously saying that to preserve the earth, to save us from climate change, we need to stop having children. Well, who are we saving the world for if we're not going to stop having children?
But the problem is there are some people who are so disconnected within their supposedly logical brains that it is the earth itself. Humans, carbon life forms called humans are somehow... Well, we're evil.
We're virus.
And that person, you have to say, okay, but you're all right.
Exactly.
The fact that you could think of this somehow makes you superior to everybody else.
In the immortal words of Sala to Indiana Jones, very dangerous. You go first. I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Let's stop having babies. It's for the children!
Yes, it's very Kafka-esque.
Yeah, it is. Proverbs 5. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. And again, that word strange woman again.
Yep.
And her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it.
This is way more than talking about a prostitute. You're going to get an STD, and you're going to die. This is not what this means.
Mm-hmm.
This is talking about foreign worship. This is paganism.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength, and your labors go into the house, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Yes, you're right. This is talking about worship of foreign gods.
Yes, it is.
And the assembled congregation being the divine
council.
And
the interesting thing is I have always heard this taught as, guys, don't go over there because she's got diseases.
And at, in a very basic level, there's some truth to that.
Yes,
but you're right. But this is a much... But like much of what's in the Bible, if we look at it with a surface level understanding, we're missing the deeper eternal consequence message.
And this is what's so interesting to me, the fact that Solomon, who had many wives, who
led him in the worship,
led him in the worship of other gods, he knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Or should have.
Yeah, he should have.
Yeah. Don't do what I say.
Yeah, don't do what I do.
Do what I say. Yeah. But yes, on a very basic level, this is just very good advice, you know, about being steadfast and faithful in your love. Proverbs 5, beginning at verse 15 now. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love.
Again, this has, at its basest meaning, is physical in nature, but it's more than that.
Right.
It's the religion of your youth, that you were taught to love the Lord.
Right. And we see that elsewhere as we get into the prophets in the Old Testament studies. We will see the relationship between Israel and Yahweh described as the relationship between a husband and a faithless wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what,
like the prophet Hosea was, you know, go out and marry a prostitute.
It's, yes.
As an, you know, as an illustration of Israel and God. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray.
And we'll close out with chapter 6. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go hasten and plead urgently with your neighbor. Now, put up security for your neighbor. I'm guessing that you've taken a loan.
Given your pledge for a stranger, you co-signed a loan, basically.
That's what it sounds like. Somehow you're in fiscal danger.
Right. And the word hasten could also be translated as humble yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself. Bye, Sam. Bye.
He graced us with his presence for a minute. That's all we get.
Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. Let's see, hunter. What is this? Takes a while because we're being throttled. Lacks of the hunter?
Yeah, save yourself like a gazelle from the hand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter is what it says in the ESV. Like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. I do think this is more than co-signing. I think is you got a loan, you put down security or a pledge for a stranger to get the loan. If you had just been wise with your time and your resources, you wouldn't have needed the loan.
No, that's true. Yeah, you could well be right.
Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. He lies.
Mm-hmm.
Winks with his eyes, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. There are 6 things that the Lord hates, and these are various thoughts. That's why they're arranged in paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him.
And that's a style we see often in the Proverbs. There are 3 things that the Lord loves and 4 things for which, you know, and interestingly, you actually see that in some Celtic poetry. When you get into the Brittonic poetry of the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th centuries AD, you know, the post-Roman period.
It's beautiful.
Similar style. So, yeah, it's an interesting device.
There are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Remember that next time you're online.
Mm-hmm.
Sowing discord among the brothers.
Yeah.
My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them about your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Now, this is poetic language. These teachings aren't going to sit at the edge of your bed and converse with you.
Yeah.
But you will learn if you meditate upon them.
Mm-hmm.
For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. To preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress.
Interesting that preserve you from the evil woman, if you revocalize it, is a slightly different vocalization of the words used there, yields the phrase, from the wife of a neighbor. To preserve you from the wife of a neighbor and from the smooth tongue of the foreign woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. Mm-hmm. No matter how many pairs she's glued on. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life.
And the Septuagint, which was the version translated from Hebrew mm-hmm. into Greek by the Jewish scholars around 200 BC, translates it this way. For a prostitute leaves a man with nothing but a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life.
That's a huge difference.
It is, yeah.
Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned?
Oh, that's a, yeah.
Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he is hungry. Jean Valjean.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he was satisfying his sister's kids or something. But if he is caught, he will pay sevenfold. He will give all the goods of his house. He who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. For jealousy makes a man furious, and he will not spare when he takes revenge. He will accept no compensation. He will refuse though you multiply gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Came over and bedded down with my wife, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And now you think you can get out of this by offering me... No, that's...
More ammo, buddy.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. It's like, run to the city of refuge, because that's all you got.
Yeah, and, but it's more than that. It's more than that. It's the Lord God Almighty who you bed down with a harlot.
Right.
Or you are unfair. You chase after the goddesses, the gods of this world. He will be furious.
And that is why I think it's important to remember this, because, you know, kind of put a mental bookmark on these Proverbs and then remember this as we get into those sections of the prophets where, Isaiah and Ezekiel are talking about or is it Haggai? Haggai, I guess, is the one who had married Gomer.
Mm.
Am I remembering it right? See,
I think
now,
it's Hosea.
Yeah. What prophet married Gomer? That was Hosea. Okay, I was right. Yeah. But there's a reason that God likens the relationship of the faithless relationship of Israel, the fact that he kept whoring after other gods, and uses that phrase
mm-hmm.
And likens it to a faithless wife.
Mm-hmm.
And why we in the New Testament, the New Testament church, are called the
bride
of Christ. Yeah, there is a similarity there, and God will reward those who were faithless with him in the same way as a jealous husband rewards the guy who messes with his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a family story in that my great-grandfather, Edward Gilbert, who emigrated with his family when he was a boy from Finland to Indiana. They were Swedes, but mm-hmm. they were living in Finland. Glass blowers, and I guess the city they lived in Finland was known for its glass blowing.
They were Swedes?
No. Or Swins?
Swins!
That part of Finland, actually, Swedish is so prominent that it's actually the official second language.
Huh.
But anyway, the story goes that my great-grandfather was at a tavern in Terre Haute, Indiana one night after going to a union meeting. He was like the shop steward or whatever, and he had to report back to the glassblowers at whatever they had talked about with the company, the bottling plant. And a guy came into this tavern and was looking for the guy, or had come in earlier that night, rather, had looking for the guy that had been sleeping with his wife, and he was waving a gun around. And the tavern keeper took the gun away from him. And then when my great-grandfather came in, was telling him the story, the barkeeper was showing him the gun and messing around with it. He had forgotten to unchamber
that's
bullet.
Right.
Yeah. And the gun discharged, caught my grandfather on the shoulder, deflected into his lung, and he was killed. It took him 10 days. He lingered, which is kind of horrible. But the fact is there was a guy in there who was raving, and as the story goes, and the barkeeper managed to talk him down and took the gun away. But because of that,
mm-hmm.
my great-grandfather
who was not involved in any.
Was not involved
he was
in any
collateral
of
damage.
Collateral damage, yeah. So it, you know, this kind of thing had that first guy who slept with the other guy's wife.
Not done any of this.
Yeah. My great grandfather might have been around a lot longer. My grandfather might have had a male role model instead mm-hmm. of winding up in a home for boys.
Mm.
Because his dad passed away when he was 10 years old. So, but yeah, it brings grief in a lot of ways in a lot of people. And sometimes we don't even recognize or consider the ways in which our paths and our actions may have collateral damage, affect people who we don't even know.
That's just it. Sin often does have collateral damage. And at the very least, God himself says that there are some sins that will be visited generations down the line.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, and if I remember correctly, I don't remember the tavern keeper's name. It was Jimmy was his first name, and I don't remember the last name. But he actually built a home for my great-grandmother because he felt so bad about it, built a new house. Great-grandma, though, felt she could only keep the girls, and so the two boys, my grandfather and his brother, mm-hmm. were sent off to the Father Gibault home.
That was actually very common.
Yeah. But
it wasn't always a widow. Sometimes it was a married couple who, for whatever reason, they were moving to a new location that they simply could not take all of the children. And so sometimes those children were either left with someone as okay, you're going to learn be an apprentice for this guy for, 5 years and he's going to take care of you and mm-hmm. you're going to learn a trade, or someone else. Okay. I'll take him in as one of my kids.
Right. Yeah. So, back in 1910, that was what happened. And as another bit of collateral damage, the way the family story goes, the tavern keeper eventually was so distraught over having killed my great-grandfather that he took his own life.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. So,
that's terrible.
But it's a reminder. And mm-hmm. this is the kind of warning that we're getting in the Proverbs here. And, it's easy for us when we're reading scripture sometimes and not discussing with other people, and not reading them out loud. For some reason, reading it out loud and the messages mm-hmm. tend to sink in a little more. It's easy to skip over these things and say, good advice. In my case, get me back to the history part. But there is a lot there, because there are consequences, not only in this physical realm, but then again, eternal consequences.
There's a scientific theory that Josh Peck occasionally talks about called entangled pairs. Mm. And it has to do with subatomic particles that when they are entangled, that one will change its orientation and the other one will respond, even though it has not been acted upon. It reacts because it is entangled with the first particle. I personally believe that especially the body of Christ, we are an entangled group.
Mm.
I don't believe that these are merely pairs. I think it's more because the Lord God Almighty is in everything and holds all things together. This is not any kind of, it's panentheism mm-hmm. or what, anything like that. It's the idea that the sin one person commits can affect people generations down the line, people in places far away that are not blood connected to that person at all.
Yeah.
Sin matters. Your choice matters.
Paul even writes about that in the New Testament, where he says, he writes about sexual sin being especially dangerous because it affects the body. It's something that you do against your own body. And as part of the body of Christ, then it affects the entire body of mm-hmm. Christ. And that is startling when you really, comprehend and apprehend that, because the internet has made sexual sin so, we think, anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some really startling statistics if you want to look for them, about how many professing Christians are still snared by pornography mm-hmm. because of the internet. How many of them are actually in the ministry? How many pastors are snared? There is a temptation for all of us men. We're visual creatures, and mm-hmm. the internet has made those images so easily available that it is, kids are being exposed to things at ages way earlier than they ever were in our history as a species.
Yes.
And it's having an impact on the way our interpersonal relationships are formed. I think it's having something to do with the way our culture is moving away from the traditional definition of marriage
mm-hmm.
Because kids at the age of 10, 11, 12 with access to the internet are seeing things that grown-ups shouldn't see, and it's warping them. And it is essentially part of the enemy's assault on the design put forward by God for the family. And the Proverbs, bringing it back to today's study, were Solomon's warnings to his sons to stick to God's plan. Be steadfast and faithful in your love. Don't go after, and I think you're right in saying that there's a multiple layers of meaning here, that it also deals with don't chase after these foreign gods that the Israelites constantly hoard after. But on a very basic level, delight in the wife of your youth.
Mm-hmm.
And women, delight in the husband of your youth. And there will be times we know that the path isn't easy, but the payoff, the benefit when you get to the end of that road is so much more than the temporary short-term physical payoff, if you want. And that word isn't really accurate.
It's a snare. You are ensnaring your own feet.
Right. And again, as a member of the body of Christ, as Paul writes, it's not just you, because you're one of this entangled body that mm-hmm. we call Christians. It is also affecting the entire body of Christ. And we'll have to make a point of pointing that out when we get to that study. And I forget which letter of Paul's it's in, but it's one that I tried to take to heart because, again, as a man, as a visual creature, you can't watch a football game without seeing images during the commercials that, you know, you really oughtn't to spend time with your eyes, you know, feasting on. So, mm-hmm. But again, that's the enemy trying to destroy.
You can't
destroy.
Even go through the news anymore. You and no. I read news every day.
Right.
And there are some online web portals for news.
Clickbait.
Yeah. Gosh, the stuff that's out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Kardashian girls have made an entire career out of being clickbait.
And because they're trying to outdo each other and other startup businesses that are trading upon that,
mm-hmm.
They are trying to outdo the Kardashians. It has to constantly be escalated.
Right. Because you can only, you know, okay, we've seen that already. Now we need, what's the next new thing? That's
why nudity. I see that now already.
Yeah. And that's why, like Madonna, who's, you know, music career as a pop diva should have ended about 20 years ago, is still trying to hang on, but she's having to be more and more mm-hmm. outrageous every time she goes in public. So that's the world in which we live.
Yeah.
But it's like Solomon wrote elsewhere in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun.
That's true.
So let's close with a word of prayer. Father, you've seen the end from the beginning, and you knew we were going to live in these times. But as Dr. Michael Lake said to us just a week or so ago, you know, we're living in a time when that the apostles and the prophets would have longed to see, because we know we are nearing the end of this race. They are leaning over the rails in heaven now and cheering us on and encouraging us, because they know the path that we are on now is growing more difficult as the enemy's attacks grow more intense. The enemy knows his time is growing short, and they are ramping up their attacks on your design for the family, your design, what it means to be man, woman, child. Lord, we pray that you'll grant us strength, discernment to perceive the enemy's attacks, and the strength to resist them with gentleness and respect, so that those who are so blind that they don't know over what they stumble, they cannot see their own wickedness, would look to us and see no fault in us and be open to hearing the message of good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for those who are preaching the good news, the pastors preparing their messages every Sunday all over the world, the missionaries who are in the field, Lord, bringing light to the dark places of the planet. And Lord, we pray for those who are suffering, those who have medical and physical needs. Lord, we pray especially for Sharon's sister Brenda as she goes in for her procedure tomorrow. Lord, we pray that you'll be with the doctors and guide their hands, guide their eyes. Father, we pray for those having financial difficulties, those whose relationships are strained. We pray that your Spirit can bring healing and restoration. And we look forward to your return, Father, and the restoration of all things.
Yes, we do.
And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts.